wanted to start just briefly by reading my brother Henry, who's in Japan. He's been in Japan 1 year now, and he just had a message on Facebook that I wanted to share, and it actually lines up perfectly with what I want to share this morning. It's already been 1 year since our flight touched down on the Japanese tarmac, and moving to this strange new land, I had a nervous anticipation about what to expect. So far, so fantabulous. Japanese hearts and homes have been open to us in incredible ways. We are very privileged to live among this nation, to learn about its culture, heritage, and kind spirit. Our prayer is that in all that we have received from them, we might give back, show love, be love, and spread the love that God has given us. Great, great encouragement from Japan, the mission field. And before I start, I just want to open briefly with prayer here. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've placed on my heart this morning. I pray that I can rightly divide your word in a way that is honoring to you. And Lord, that you would speak to all of us the message that you have for us this morning. May I be a mouthpiece for you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to start just by asking a question, and I don't want you to answer, but just dwell on it. Why do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And just think about, like, maybe you've never thought about why. So just something to dwell upon. And I'll start by reading from the last chapter of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to the end, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I'm sure, if not all of us, most of us have heard this bit of scripture about the Great Commission, about how all of us as believers are called to share the gospel. When we are saved from our sins, it's not that we just go about our lives as Christians, but we are also called to spread that good news and to share the transformation in our own lives to others. And everybody has a part to play, and I say part because I believe that there are certain people who have a calling to be an evangelist, and they do that first and foremost as their calling. But all of us, in varying degrees, have this same calling to share the good news about Jesus. And it can be tough. It can be so easy to neglect this, because in our world, it's not favorable. It's not looked highly upon to share about Jesus being the only way to salvation and no other way is available. People don't like to hear that. It's very offensive to people. In John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says the following: "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Now notice here Jesus' words: "I will send him to you." And what is he sending? He's sending the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate for us. But he's sending the Holy Spirit to us as believers. And then he goes on to say, when he comes, he will prove to the world. God is using us, imperfect human beings, to further his kingdom on this earth. It's not, I mean, the Holy Spirit does minister to people in varying degrees and ways. But ultimately, it is through us, his believing church, his body on this earth, through his Holy Spirit that we are reaching the lost. And I think it's good to remember that it's through us. We are his hands and feet. Christ does not have a physical body on this earth aside from us today. Are we faithful to that calling? As it implies, we are to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we minister. We are not to go out in the flesh, having wise words, convincing arguments. Those things are good in themselves, but when we lack the Holy Spirit, people's hearts are not convicted. These words bounce off, but when the Holy Spirit empowers us, even when we don't understand necessarily the words that we are saying that have the impact, it has impact in people's hearts. And I think a good example of this is a true story that I read about a woman who was seeking. She didn't know what she was looking for, but she was a seeking soul, you could say. And she had an appliance breakdown, so she ordered a repairman to come. And this man came to her home and repaired whatever it was that was broken. And he felt compelled to tell this woman the simple words, "Jesus loves you." And on the surface, it's a very simple thing. But these words stuck with her. She couldn't get them out of her mind. And one thing led to another. She found a Bible. She started reading that Bible. She went to a church. And ultimately, she was saved because of the obedience of this one man and this simple step of faith that he took to maybe share an uncomfortable statement out of the blue to this woman that Jesus truly loves her. And we don't always know what that key is in somebody's heart because we can't see into people's hearts, but the Holy Spirit can, and he indwells us. And when we rely on him and we are obedient to open our mouths and let him fill it, we can speak to people's hearts in ways that we don't even understand. And we may never even know the words that we say that have a lasting impact for the kingdom. Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life of submission to the Father. Everything that he did it through the Father's will. And he sought the Father through prayer. Many nights he would spend in prayer to be sure that he was in alignment with the Father. And he is our model. He is who we strive to be. We are imperfect. We will never be like Christ. In this age, we will never be perfect, but he is our forerunner of the faith. He is who we are following. He is who we strive to become. He is the desire of our hearts to become like him. And we know that we will not achieve this perfection ever that he had. But if we would just submit our hearts, imagine the impact that the Holy Spirit could have through us. When we would just submit our lives continually to him, to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. What is he speaking us or speaking to our hearts to do today? You think of how effective Jesus' ministry was. Why was it? Yes, he was the Son of God, but he modeled that perfect submission for us, that we would walk in his footsteps, that we would be in that constant fellowship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. And it excites me to think, even in my own life, and this morning I'm speaking from up higher here, but I truly can't speak down to you in this matter. It's something that is convicting me this morning. And it excites me to think that as a church, if we move more and more towards being Spirit-led, being submissive to the Holy Spirit's guidance in our hearts, dying to our own fleshly desires and living for him as a living sacrifice, what the Lord can do through us for his glory, not that we are special, but that he Almighty God indwells us and can minister to hearts and transform lives in the same way that we have been transformed. In Luke chapter 24, I won't read the verse because I'm short on time, but Jesus instructs his disciples before he is ascended to heaven. He instructs them not to leave the city. He gives them the commission, but he instructs them not to leave until they are clothed with power from on high. It's Luke chapter 24, verse 46 onwards, if you're looking it up. But this is crucial for us as believers, that we are seeking to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. Because Jesus specifically told his disciples not to go before this happened. And we know, looking at their lives before and after Pentecost, the reason. They were fearful, they didn't understand, and after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were emboldened to preach. You think of the amazing sermons that Paul preached and Peter preached shortly after being filled with the Holy Spirit. Convicting hearts, going right, being able to speak right to the deepest parts of people's hearts, and to bring about that change in people, to convict them of sin, and to show them the grace that is through Jesus. And what an amazing thing it is that the Holy Spirit can do through us. The disciples were born of the Spirit before this, don't get me wrong. They were born of the Spirit, they were believers, but they had not yet realized the full experience of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what that could do through them. Being filled with the Spirit makes us full of joy as believers, that joy that goes beyond knowledge. And I'm sure we've all experienced it when you're so full of joy, but there's no specific reason aside from knowing that you are a son of God or a daughter of God, and you're filled with his Spirit, and you have purpose, and you are loved, and you are forgiven. It also makes us victorious over sin when we have struggles in our lives, ongoing struggles, sometimes addictions. The power of the Holy Spirit can break these bonds in our lives. But we are powerless without the Holy Spirit to do this. We cannot do this in our own power. But through the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And it makes us bold to witness. That boldness, like Brother Joel was talking about, this boldness and burning desire that he wants to share the word, he wants to preach, he wants to share the goodness of God that he himself has seen. And it's too often as believers that we might watch a great movie or have a great experience or go on an awesome vacation, and we talk about it nonstop to our friends. Oh, it was so great, or it was fantastic. Yet we neglect to talk about the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. We don't talk about it. We don't share it. We shy away from the subject. Fear of man over fear of God kills our witness in this world. When we are more scared of what people think than of the commission and the command that God has given us, the order is backwards. We are not to fear man, and the Holy Spirit helps us overcome that fear when he empowers us and emboldens us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks of this power. And as you listen to this scripture, I want you just to accept through faith that this is a reality. This is not just a suggestion. This is not maybe true. This is true for you as a believer filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. This power is alive and well in us today as believers of Jesus. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's in us. Do we believe it? I'm not trying to unlock some secret mystery that you can be powerful now. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying that this is a reality in us, but it's too often that we quench this reality in our lives. We don't allow this power to manifest itself because we're busy doing everything else. We are not seeking this. And the reason I asked, why do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, is because perhaps you're not thinking it through. Perhaps you want to be filled with the Spirit, but you're not thinking why. Why do I want to be filled? Do you want to be filled so that you can be a powerful witness for Christ in this world? To change the city? Do you want God to have his way through you, no matter what? Or are you just looking at it that, oh, it's a cool experience, I want to feel God's love, which is good, don't get me wrong. But he equips us, he fills us with his Spirit so that we can live godly lives and that we can minister to people and spread his good news, his truth in this world so that more people would come into the kingdom. This is something I struggle with all the time. It's always a battle, and I think it's just the nature of the Christian fight, the walk, that it's always battling to stay submitted to him. What does he want? And nobody lives in full submission. Nobody lives filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. Sometimes we are robbed of joy. We are robbed of that power. We get filled with worry. We are caught in things that are important, yes, but they're secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be given to you. That is a promise. It means if you put him first and foremost, you will not be lacking. Your children will not go hungry. You will have clothes. You might not be rich, but you will have all that you need. Do you believe that this morning? Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to let go of maybe the comforts that you have in your own life, if God is calling you to do that? Or are you like the rich young man who went to Jesus asking, what can I do? And Jesus said, seeing the great wealth that he had and the place that it had in his heart, he said, sell everything that you have, knowing that this was a snare for the man. He was dwelling in the riches of this time instead of being rich towards God. And he told him to get rid of it. And the man was sad because he couldn't let go. And it's tough. This is a tough teaching for everybody. We are all rich in North America. We all have food. We all have clothing. Even the poor have more than many people around the world. Are we willing to give it all to him and to be used by him? Because if we're not, we will not be effective. Sure, we will do things for him. But God is searching for people to step up. I believe that in my heart. And I feel that calling in my own heart. And I struggle with it. But as a fellow brother with you this morning, a brother of one Father in heaven, we can struggle together in this matter to see this church filled with people seeking him, knowing his love. Sometimes we can get caught up in the idea that sharing our faith will be awkward. Some people might say it's cringy. And if you've ever been witnessed to by a Jehovah's Witness, I think you can equate that sometimes to your own sharing of faith. Because every time that I've been in contact with Jehovah's Witnesses, I have this anxiety. When I see them coming, I know what they're going to say, and it brings this kind of uncomfortable feeling in my heart. But the difference between them and you as a son or daughter of God is that they do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, empowering them to share the truth. We do. Let's have faith in that. Like that woman who all she needed to hear was that Jesus loved her. Somebody loved her. It was enough. Let's trust that the Holy Spirit is using us in the words that we don't even understand that we are sharing to somebody's heart. He just wants us to be obedient to him. The point I really want to stress this morning is that, and to really gird up that faith in all of us, that we are filled with the Spirit, and that God's Holy Spirit, that same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in us when we go out there in our workplaces. If we meet somebody and the topic comes up, if we feel compelled to tell somebody about Jesus, he is working. Don't look at yourself. Focus on Jesus and what he is speaking through the Holy Spirit to these people. We're short of time here, so I just wanted to share a story, a true story, about the way that the Holy Spirit at times can empower us to do incredible things. He's in us, but there are instances that, whether it's through persecution or whatever it is, that God can, in a special way, empower us to endure, to be just a powerful witness. And we see that all throughout the Bible in different ways. Think of Stephen when he was being stoned. He was at peace, looking up at heaven, seeing the heavens open up and seeing Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit was truly empowering him to go through that. This story, I'll try to read it quickly here. Joseph Masai, a Masai warrior, attended the Itinerant Evangelist Conference in Amsterdam, where he met Billy Graham and shared his story. One day Joseph was walking alone one of these hot, dirty African roads, met someone who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Then and there, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The power of the Spirit began transforming his life. He was filled with such excitement and joy that the first thing he wanted to do was return to his own village and share the same good news with the members of his local tribe. Joseph began going door to door, telling everyone he met about the cross of Jesus and the salvation it offered, expecting to see their faces light up the way his had. To his amazement, the villagers not only didn't care, they became violent. The men of the village seized him and held him to the ground, while the women beat him with strands of barbed wire. He was dragged to the village and left to die alone in the bush. Joseph somehow managed to crawl to a waterhole, and there, after days of passing in and out of consciousness, found the strength to get up. He wondered about the hostile reception he had received from the people he had known all his life. He decided he must have left something out of the story of Jesus or said something incorrectly. After rehearsing the message he had first heard, he decided to go back and share his faith once more. Joseph limped into the circle of huts and began to proclaim Jesus. "He died for you so that you might find forgiveness and come to know the living God," he pleaded. Again, he was grabbed by the men of the village and held while the women beat him, reopening wounds that had just begun to heal. Once more, they dragged him unconscious from the village and left him to die. To have survived the first beating was truly remarkable. To live through the second was a miracle. Again, days later, Joseph awoke in the wilderness, bruised, scarred, and determined to go back. He returned to the small village, and this time they attacked him before he even had a chance to open his mouth. As they flogged him for the third and probably the last time, he again spoke to them of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Before he passed out, the last thing he saw was that the women who were beating him began to weep. This time he awoke in his own bed. The ones who had so severely beaten him were now trying to save his life and nurse him back to health. The entire village had come to Christ. Joseph was saved when he met someone on a dirt road who shared the gospel with him. We don't need a prior relationship to share the gospel. We only need humble faith and genuine love. Everyone we meet needs the gospel, so share with them. Joseph shows us that when we see Christ as our all-satisfying treasure and how lost people are without him, we will not let anything stop us from changing, sharing the good news. Joseph's suffering was part of his message, as it displayed how precious Christ was to him. So don't fear rejection, scoffing, or worse. God will give you grace to suffer, and he could use your suffering to save your whole office or neighborhood. Powerful story of incredible. This is not a story of man's determination. This is the Holy Spirit working through this man, Joseph. That he was willing to endure these beatings almost to death repeatedly because of the great love that he had in his heart for these people and the Holy Spirit's girding and prompting him to do so. So truly, the Holy Spirit is powerful this day, just like it was thousands of years ago. And I just want to encourage everyone. Take those steps of faith. You don't have to hold an outdoor meeting with thousands of people as your first step. Pray for someone who the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, who you can share the gospel with, maybe somebody, your friend or family who doesn't believe, and start praying for that person, and the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and give you the boldness to share your faith. And if that person rejects Christ, that's not your business. Not everyone will accept Christ in their heart. Well, we are called to speak to all, so that all are given the opportunity. I'm certainly convicted this morning, and as I was preparing this message, and I felt even resistance in coming here and sharing this. And even last night, the kids were just, they kept waking up and having nightmares, and I don't know what was going on, but I poor night's rest, and I woke up exhausted. But I feel that it's important for us to hear that God is with us, and he has much that he can do through us if we're willing. I pray that as a church, we would be willing. We would take those steps of faith more and more. Let's pray.